First, I want to thank everybody here. I want to thank the Young Light and the Befata Rosh Kolo. As of late, I've been working a lot with Rosh Kolo, and he's someone that it's a big source we have in our Kolo. Person not afraid of anybody, and I stand for Torah and Torah and Torah and proper Yiddishkeit. And Baruch Hashem, we have somebody around who's willing to put himself on the line and stand up for what's right. So Baruch Hashem, Shkoyach to Shkoyel. So we're going to discuss a couple inyanim here. I thought about saying a joke, because I heard a very good joke this morning, but I'm really not good at saying jokes, so I decided against it. But just pretend like I said the joke, and everybody can pretend and laugh, and that's it. Outcut. All right, finished. Now, we're going to start the show like this. Is that there's many different issues. Why is I in this area to say this? The truth is, how did I say this shit? Because a lady from one of the emails that go out all over South Florida, she called me up on the phone. I got your number from the Kolo Kolo, and I want to know if you're saying a shit on January 1st. I said, yeah, probably. I think it's a good idea. And she said, what are you going to say it on? I said, I don't know. What should we say it on? And she said, how about common cashless issues that are met when eating at somebody else's house? I said, well, sounds like a good idea. So that's how we're saying this shit. I don't see her anywhere. And also, recently I was speaking to somebody, and I mentioned him about Bishul Akum. And Bishul Akum, the kale needed to kasher it. And he said, oh, you mean if she cooks for herself? I said, no, even if she cooks for you, do you need to kasher the kale? I said, what? So yeah, so he said, oh my goodness, I've told all my friends. So I told all of his friends, we started shir, we're saying now in Bishul Akum, shir at Wednesday nights and Monday nights and Wednesday nights. And there's Marj Dina, and people don't know, one time I had a family member that I had to eat by, they invited me for Shabbos, and then all of a sudden I realized that the shiksa was cooking all the food. And I didn't know what to do, it was a very big issue. But apparently the people who just don't know these dinim, but it's Marj Halochis. So then we're broadening it out to other inyanim, to Vilas Kalim, and other things that are written on the sheet. Okay, let's say that. Good. Now, first off, is that in your house, you always know what's going on. However, when you're in somebody else's house, you have major issues, because you don't necessarily know what people are doing over there, and it could present real issues in Dine Kashrus. In the Mar Mekoymes paper, which is dictating my order of how I'm going to do this, wherever I had it before. Okay, good. Number one, Tevilas Kalim. I spoke to a good friend of mine recently, and I told him, you have to be Tevil the Kalim. He says, what do you mean? If I get treif things on it, I have to take the Kalim to the mikvah, right? I said, no. If you get treif things, you have to kasher them. And he said, what? Taking the mikvah is not good enough? And I said, no, taking the mikvah is not good enough. So everybody has to realize, Tevilas Kalim has nothing to do with kashrus. It's not a din in the kashrus of the food, or the kli. If the kli is treif, even after Tevilas Kalim, the kli is treif. The halacha is you have to take your kalim to the mikvah, and the shach says, the reason behind it is, because you're taking it out of the rishus of an akum, rishus of tumah, into the rishus of kedusha. It's in the nice kema shulchan aruch. It's not a chesidish sefer. That's what he says. You take out of the rishus of the tumah of the goyim and bring it into the rishus of kedusha of yidden, and that requires tevila. Tevila is kelim. Now, which type of utensil need tevila is kelim? Which type of utensil don't need tevila is kelim? So just the metals for sure midiraisa need tevila is kelim. However, aluminum, let's say, aluminum, which is a new metal, which didn't exist, they didn't have in the times of the Torah. Therefore, it's a shayla, or even the Rabbanim, when the Rabbanim were gazed on all types of other kalim, shayla that's a big shayla. If metals are not originally included in the gzeres, in the Torah, not including gzeres chachomim, what is the din of those metals? Do those metals also need tevilas kalim or not? So that seems to be a machlokes ha-paiskim. It seems that Meisha, who I heard from camera people, the Meisha held, and it's around, you can find it. The Meisha held that aluminum is not included in the original Gzeira because aluminum didn't exist at the time, and therefore it could not have been included in the Gzeira's Chachamim, and therefore aluminum never needs to deal as came according to that. However, the other Pesach hold that since the Gzeira's Chachamim was anything daima to metal, so even the things that did not exist at the time made the Gzeira is also included. So, but even on the side that you do have to take aluminum came to the mikvah, it could be that if it's disposable, you use it once. It could be in that case, you still don't need it. But this whole idea of using a kli once does not need tevilas kalim is only on aluminum and in disposable kalim. However, a kli that you're going to use forever, a regular kli, somebody else made this mistake that I was speaking to also. A regular kli, if a pat, it's made out of metal. It doesn't matter if the first time you're using it, you have to take that to the mikvah first. It's not good enough. The only tzad of heter in such an idea, if you hold of it, is that if you're going to use an aluminum disposable kli, Then he could use it one time without taking it to the mikvah. But for sure, a regular kli, even though it's the first time you're using it, you have to take it to the mikvah for using it.
What happens if you only plan on using it once?
It does, if the real kli, it doesn't matter. A kli is the kli. A disposable kli is only a kli once. A disposable kli, that's not a kli. If you can use it more than once, then it becomes a kli.
If it's a disposable aluminum pan that you're going to use and wash out, so even the first time, the chayyim shouldn't be able to...
Oh, so that's what I thought. That's what I... But I remember speaking to somebody who told me it's not so simple. I asked somebody, said not so simple. I don't know why not. But luchaya, pashla, a kli, the aluminum pan, they're going to use over and over and over again. So mikarav by you, that's called a kli. And therefore, you should need to take to the mikvah also. So please, if anybody has that issue, please ask a rav. Oh, a disclaimer. Anything we're saying now, we're speaking out the sugya. We'll say some sheets from different paiskim, but nothing should be relied on la halacha. I remember somebody told me that they asked Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, he's making a bar mitzvah, and he asked Rabbi Yaakov, he said, what am I supposed to do? My son just making a bar mitzvah. He doesn't know gan shulchan aruch. How is he supposed to live his life like a proper Jew? So Rabbi Yaakov told him, get a kitzur shulchan aruch. So he asked Rabbi Yaakov, he said, good, I'll get a kitzur shulchan aruch, but lemaisa, definitely doesn't suffice. There's many other shailas, many diktukim that come up that's not mavur in kitzur shulchan aruch. So Rabbi Yaakov told him, he said, but at least I'll know when to ask a shaila. So that's what we're doing now. We're being ma'ir, a bunch of different studim, different shailas, that a person should therefore realize what he's getting himself into and know what to look for and what to ask shailas to a competent halachic authority. Okay,
right.
Okay, that's, we can't go all din into Vilas Kalim, but that also is an issue. A kli that you bet some didn't buy, let's say, a packet, that's a big shot. Packet from the
Chayyim.
Right, so that's all sugya. We could go through it, but the whole talks about that in one of the Mayamakimis, but you can't get all totally involved. But it seems like a pocket knife, that let's say if you use, some use a pocket knife to cut ritzus from tefillin, like Rabbi Salamai, and it carries around pocket size with him. So then, in that case, no, it's whatever they're called. I forget. Gita. So, in that case, if you have a melon and you need to cut open a melon, so it's brought on a locha, that would not require it to be as kalim before cutting open a melon. But these shahs get very complicated. What is that? It's if you want to borrow Rabbi Selmer's knife that he used to cut Gideon with to cut a melon, you would not need to be his kaim on that case. Okay, now, let's say if you know somebody they're eating by, you know he does not take his kaim to the mikveh, he didn't try it, he doesn't care, he's not interested. Well, let's say you know that he took him to the mikveh, but he took him to a mikveh or an area of water that's not right for tefillah's kaim. Anybody who uses the canal has to know that's a very big question, and you have to ask a halachic authority what the status of the canal.
You go to a restaurant, you don't know where the restaurant
is. So there, the restaurant, good, but the restaurant can be different. If it's owned by Goyim, you don't have that issue. However, if it's owned by Jews, it is definitely a problem. Is that? Okay, but I remember at the time we were discussing, we didn't ask all the rabbanim yet, so that's why I didn't want to announce that it's a problem.
Ask your
Rav about the canal. So let's say, if you know your Rav tells you that you cannot use kalim that were dipped in the canal, canal's not a kosher mikvah. And you're eating at somebody's house, and they didn't ask any shailas, and you don't want to eat from their kalim. Let's say you know somebody just never took the kalim to the mikvah at all. So what's the halacha? Can you eat their food, not eat their food? So it's a mefurish ramah, it's mefurish and halacha, that a kli that was not taken to the mikvah and they cooked food in it does not make the food treif. It does not affect the status of the food. Therefore, the food could be eaten. However, the issue is, but they're going to serve it on a plate, and they're going to serve it with a knife and a fork and a spoon and all these other different issues. And a kli, like it says in mefurish ramah, like we have right here on Tefillas Kalim, page Beis, in the ramah it says, of a harisha, and it means the first person who owns it, whatever, tongue kiss, we gave it to somebody else, that person also is damaged by the tzarchei suda. That person, if he did not take the kli to the mikvah, is also to use it for suda things. A filo derech ari, even just derech ari, you use it once, doesn't matter. Beloy tevila, without tevila, you cannot go ahead and use that kli. Therefore, it's a big problem. You eat it by someone's house, you're schmoozing with them, all of a sudden he tells you, wow, it's so great, it's so convenient, we have the canal right here, I can take all my kalim there. And it's sitting there in the Sudan, like, what are you supposed to do?
I don't know about the canal, you say.
Huh? On the tzad, that the canal is a problem, if you hold that way, the canal is a problem, then you'll have an issue. Well, let's say, speaking to them, he says, I never took my kalim to the mikveh. So in that issue, very hard to find a heter for why it's more to use there for the knife, the fork, and the plate. The only tzad heter I found, which is interesting, two interesting svaras, one I found in a sefer, one I heard from a pesik in Beitar, but he himself was not sure if it was true. But the one is that a solid food, that batsim, you could eat from the table, you don't need the plate to be there, so that's called, you're not using the plate. Because batsim, let's say if someone serves you a cake on a plate, I didn't take to the mikvah, so you could really eat the cake on a napkin, so therefore you're not really gaining from the kli at all, it just happens to be mafsik between the food and the table. So maybe that is a makom heter. But that doesn't help you using the knife, the fork, the spoon, one of my soup, won't help you by anything else. Just to add some plate that's holding the cake. However, that's also not so pashtet. And somebody else told me another svara that maybe the issa of using the kalim that didn't go to the mikveh is pshat because a person's mechuyiv tzedekus came to the mikveh. If he didn't take him to the mikveh, there's a knas on him that he can't go ahead and use the kalim. However, someone's at his house who is not mechuyiv to be tovel playing his kalim, is not mechuyiv to tovel the balabas's kalim, so by him will be mutter. That is from Avram Stern, a pesach in Beit, and he said it that he heard b'shem of Dov Feinstein. However, none of that information has been verified. He himself did not verify it. And therefore, if you have such a tzad, ask a rov to see if that's what to be relied upon. And find the other etayim. So if you find yourself in such a situation, speak to a rov and find out if there's any way you can rely on eating the fork and the knife and use these different kalim.
What is the chiyuv? The issur is what?
To use the kalim.
To touch food to a fork?
To use a kli.
There's not. In a pot that wasn't tevel. You're allowed to?
No, you can't use. You can't use the kli. If somebody did that and put it in, can you take the fruit out and eat it? That you could do. But if they put it across the chatchila, if it's just a convenient thing, I don't know if that has what to do with. I don't know. We can't go. I wish we could go. I didn't eat it for this game, but I didn't prepare for it. Then it's not good.
The food's okay.
The food is okay. The question like this: questions. Could you in your house? You have a bunch of apples. Can you put that into a glass? Kli that did not go to the mikvah, just to hold it.
No.
Not saying yes or no. I don't know.
What?
Okay, so Yossi Fatman says it's muta.
You got it titled things that you store stuff in?
I don't know.
No, it's a pot. The etzem is a pot. And grounded, and you didn't title it.
You're not cooking
you
in a pot. You're
cooking.
A glass of salad.
Then you was cooking.
You also put
food in the pot, in the bowl.
People definitely peel their sinus on
it.
Okay, it's kosher food. You just can't use the kalim. Finished. Okay. Plastic spoon. Use a plastic spoon. You could use plastic. That's for sure not a problem. Take it out of the reshus of the Tumah of Goy into the reshus of the Kedusha of Yidden. That's what it says in the Shach. The what?
The understanding of halacha always was not a matter of using the kli to eat the food or cooking it.
No, it's not. It's a mistake.
Touches the food. The storage kli also a jar and you put things in it. You can use it 5 months later.
Yeah, I'm not discussing this issue about storing food. I'm not discussing it. Right, we have so many things we have to cover. Right, okay. Now, besides Dinei Tevilas Kalim.
If the food doesn't touch the kli, you let it wind or something.
Right, so, and people never rely that it's mutter, but I don't know. I'm not discussing all these dinim. I apologize. I wish I could, but right now I'm not.
If it's Tumah Tahara, then how serious is it?
Huh? It's very serious. I didn't do it either. It's a chiv in the Torah to be told to your kingdom. Weiter. Okay, listen. We also want to discuss Teiloim. Kama issues that arise by Teiloim. By bugs in people in food. Now, there's three Gedarim. One Gedar is that such a thing that you find in so often that it can't be considered a mute anymore. A mute in this case, we have what's called a mute hamatsui, a mute she'enu matsui. Mute in this case doesn't mean 49%. Mute, in, as far as we're talking about, as a minimum, let's say mute hamotz. Mute means a rarity that is common, or mute that's a rarity that's not common. Now, when we're talking about a rarity, a mute, we don't mean normally say mute is 49%, right? Less than rive is 49% is a mute. That's not the halacha of here. If it's more than a certain percentage, I couldn't get clear exactly what the percentage is. But if you find bugs and more than that, that's not going to mute anymore, and therefore you mamish it. Let me tell you just the differences. We're in bugs now. We're after Tevilas Kalim. Let's say, for example, let's say lettuce. Yeah? Lettuce is a big problem. It's a corn on the cob, maybe according to many people. The corn on the cob also could, I'm when I was there, it's a straw, we had very problems with corn on the cob. Different things that have bugs in them. Romaine lettuce, sometimes iceberg lettuce, and peppers, and there's different things that, fish, different things that are common to have bugs in them. So if it's called a miut she'enu matsui, it's a very small percentage of them that you find in them. There's no chiv to be baidik that. And this changes. I asked somebody if I can get a clear delineation. What is made of matzah? What's not? They told me it really depends upon the seasons. And certain seasons, certain fish like cod. Cod could be a very big problem if eating cod fish. That could be a big problem. But certain seasons is b'chol not a problem. And therefore, it's really hard to find the klalim of what is called mir hamatzui, what vegetables are not mir hamatzui. That you have to call the OU or whoever halachic authorities you rely on and find out what it is. But in general, the halachas are mir she'enu matzui. If you find certain substances, certain foods that sometimes, once in a while, you find bugs in them, but it's very, very rare, you're not mechuyev to be baidik them. I asked a very choshev mashgiach, and he told me, let's say, the big example for that is peppers. Peppers are mid she'enoi matzui. It's very, very, very rare to find bugs in peppers. Hagam, one time I found a bug in a pepper, but it seems that it's very, very uncommon to find bugs in peppers. And therefore, that would not require a bedika. There's another thing called mid hamatzui. It's uncommon, but it's more common than the other one. That geda requires a bedika. You have to look at them and check to see if the bugs are there. However, that is not an isra chil. It's not also to eat those things. It's just a chiv on you to be baitik them, to investigate them. Therefore, if... Huh? I asked this mashgiach, I told him about cabbage and lettuce, and romaine lettuce. He told me he's not sure that's b'chlam mir at all. It could be that's called... he told me by romaine lettuce. Cabbage
romaine,
in a bowl.
The cabbage is also...
I can't go through all the vegetables. We have to see the OU, and it could be different zvan and whatever. But this is the rule. Is that mir hamatzui, if it's more common, so then in those issues, you have to be baitik them. However, let's say if somebody mixed them together, mashed them up to a point you can't be baitik them anymore, so then that'll be mutter than to eat it. Because that is a achil on it. Yeah. If it's done, you can't do it. But if somebody did it, then you can eat it. For example, only mit hamatzui. Mit shein hamatzui is b'chal not a problem. Mit hamatzui, so therefore, a very good example of that is sometimes you buy yogurts. If you buy yogurt with certain types of fruits, let's say strawberries, I'm not discussing strawberries. I'm just using that as an example of something that you really have to be baidik on. However, if you buy from a company that they use strawberries in the yogurt and they mash them all up and now you can't do bedika, so then that's muta because there's no, you can't be baidik it anymore.
But l'chatchila you shouldn't smash up the strawberry.
You're allowed to. You cannot be mvatel on Israel l'chatchila. You can't go ahead. So why are they allowed to do it? So Sir Mashgiach told me that there's Reb Kiva Eger, all the big companies, could be Seimich on this and different issues. For sure, if you're buying from a geisha company, for sure it's okay. But you yourself cannot mash up. You can't take romaine lettuce, even if you're going to, on the side that's made of matzah, you can't go and mash it up and make it impossible to baidik it. In order to eat it, that's asa. You can't do that. And then there's things which are not meat at all, and those things you have to baidik, and even if you smash them up, you cannot go and eat it afterwards. What falls into those categories? When romaine lettuce, it seems for sure, is mechayev and bedika, not for sure. Therefore, if you're eating at somebody's house and they're serving a salad, and that sells romaine lettuce that they bought from a head of lettuce, from wherever it is, then that's a big problem. Let's see from the Star K Hashgoch, if you rely on that.
Huh?
Spinach also a big problem in bugs, that's also for sure. So if you're not buying from Bodek or from the other type of place that wash them very thoroughly, yeah, so even that, people are on different shailas, on whatever. Can you make, big shailas, can you make a mir hamatzui into a mir she'enu matzui? Is that called being mevatel Israel l'chatchila or not? So obviously Bodek and these other places rely on the fact that you can make something from mir hamatzui to a mir she'enu matzui, that means of washing it, and then it's going to be mutter to use afterwards. Some people are, that's also a problem. But that people have to ask.
Make it down to zero?
The goal is
The goal is to make a mirshenu matzui. So once they make it into mirshenu matzui, it's mutter to eat it. Shaila is, are they allowed to go ahead and do that lechatchilo, or are you being samech on the fact that mevata the isla lechatchilo? That's up for discussion. So people should ask their local rabbis. Okay, that's the issue of teiloyim. So the person has to make sure wherever they eat at somebody's house, for sure they made lettuce. You have to make sure they do a proper bedika on it. What it counts to a proper bedika and what counts to not a proper bedika, that you have to look in the... There's many very nice books and websites from the Star K and from the OU that go ahead and tell you exactly how to be ready for Thailand. But if they're not ready to get, it could be a very big issue. It's also
needed. Well, you have to make a chagman after. It's really worth to go to eat a sherbet, eat Roman lettuce. Is it taste so good?
Yeah.
Then you should take a chance.
Yeah. What about frozen?
Okay, frozen, I'll tell you. The issue with frozen things is that even if you wash things, the issue like this, we can't go, I mean, we'll talk a little bit.
We're moving to the main dish.
The issue is like this. Frozen vegetables, just washing a vegetable in of it itself is not good enough normally because insects are able to cling on to the leaves of vegetables. And when they cling onto them, washing them off with just water does not help to get them off. However, if you have frozen vegetables, lemoshel, a frozen vegetable, once you freeze it, those bugs die. Once those bugs are dead, once you wash it off, the bugs fall right off of the vegetables. And therefore, there are people who say, if you buy frozen vegetables and wash them off, that's good enough, because if you wash them properly, even without a bedika, you could assume all the bugs came off, because once they're dead, they fall off. If they're alive, they cling on. Okay, good. We have some machlokes between the oyun and the chafkei. Whether or not frozen vegetables that you wash is going to be okay or not, because they come right off. So that is an issue everybody has to speak to. What?
Strawberries, the bugs are inside.
Oh, so that only works if they cling onto the leaves. But if there's worms inside the fruit itself, like strawberries, even frozen, is not going to help you. So you cut off the tap, right? There's eitzes how to do it, but we're not going to discuss all the eitzes how to clean off your vegetables. But this is definitely something to watch out for. Eating by somebody's house, you have to know, are the people going to check their vegetables or not check their vegetables? And when you go there, you have to really, you have to investigate, research, that's not the word I want. You have to research which kind of vegetables can you eat, which ones you can't eat. And it's a really, really big shy. Broccoli is a very big problem. Cauliflower is a very big problem. Artichokes are a very big problem.
I guess you have to buy your lights.
Artichokes. One of them is not.
Give another Jew some.
What is that?
You have to give another Jew to buy your lights and check it, and that's it.
We have to pay Mashiach to come in and check our vegetables.
There you go.
Good for you.
I know it is bad for me. You can feed people kosher food. It's a big mitzvah.
Asparagus is a very big problem. All these issues are very big problems.
Public salad, triple
washed. Oh, so that's what we're saying, triple washed. Now, this is what we're saying, triple washed makes it from, if it does, it makes from mir hamatzuri, which is required bedika, to mir she'eino hamatzuri, which is not required bedika anymore. That's the advantage of washing it so many times. Now, it's just know there very often are mishaps. I remember years ago there was a very big problem. A lot of the lettuce that was officially had hechsherim on it became that they found out that they're filled with bugs. So you have to make sure it's a proper mashgiach who's doing it, who's taking care of it and looking after it, and you have to know if you rely on making from mir hamatzuri mir she'eino hamatzuri. But that's beyond. We're not going to discuss all the pratim, but this is an issue to be researched. Like we said from Yaakov, it's a kiddush shochan aruch. Now you know what shaylos to ask. This is what we're just discussing. You have to ask, triple, does it make, does it, you have to know the reality? Yeah, does it make a mission in matzah? Huh? Oh, triple wash out the extra. I don't know what you could rely on. I don't know how you could rely on they actually did it. I have no idea. I don't know why you can even rely on the fact that they did it. Okay, I just don't know. I don't know if you could say, there's no name on this bad guy. I don't know. What is that? Okay, we might discuss that, but probably not.
No, because
it's a good shayla. I'm not passing it on, but it's what to ask a rav about. Adkan, good. That's a shift in life. What else do we have to discuss here? Good. Now, we want to get into another very big issue. Is that if you're eating at somebody's house, you have issues of, sometimes people have, I know people are speaking to people, have live-in mates. They live in the houses, they're there all the time, they're there all day. They cook the food on Shabbos, all types of stuff. Now, on Shabbos. So therefore, there are people who do this. I'm not saying it's a good idea. I'm not saying it's mutter at all. What is that?
This isn't like what are you talking about?
What's the?
He's giving stories. Listen.
Nobody cooks. Tell your story.
I'm telling you facts. I know somebody who does this. Therefore, this could be very big problems. For example, also, let's say on Yom Tov, Amir La'akum, people have to know Dine Amir La'akum. Amir La'akum is a real halacha. And if you ask a guy to cook you something or to turn on a fire when you're not allowed to turn on a fire on Shabbos or even on Yom Tov, you can't start a fire. So this presents a very big issue because you're not allowed to be nene from a halacha that a guy does for you or for another Jew. You're not allowed to get hanoi. You cannot get benefit from it. Therefore, this presents a very big problem. I asked a big pesik about this one time, and I asked him, what should I do if I'm in such a place? And he told me, just don't go into the kitchen and don't find out what's going on. I don't know if that's what to rely on or not, but these are very big issues. Now, okay, good, Baruch Hashem. So Baruch Hashem, we're very sheltered here in 10th Avenue, but there are people who do this. Now, but it's a very big problem, Mir La'akum. Now, even if you're doing B'derech Remez, if you're just hinting at it, also, if they do something, a positive action for you, for example, turning on a fire, turning on the blech, on Yom Tov, striking a match, all those different things, even B'derech Remez, you're not allowed to be netted from it. You cannot get enough of it. Huh?
Huh? It's a meal line.
Right, even if you're not telling him. So even just, because the issue, even,
if he
did it for you, it's also bad.
It's only no line. It's a meal line.
Good, this is a big shayla. What exactly, there's a machleg, it's a nice akem, a shochan orach, about this. A noy lad and yom tev, whether it's nisa derayas or nisa derabonah. So that would make a very big nafkamina, whether or not if a goy turns on a fire on yom tev for you, if you can be nene v'diyever or not, is a shayla. It's a machleg, it's a nice akem, a shochan orach. Whether or not the isur nisa derayas or nisa derabonah. On the tzad, the lighting of fine yom tev is also derabonah, then it's going to be mutter if you ask them, if it's a shaygig, if it's a maze, it's also nene for me, even nisa derabonah. But Amir la'akum, to know, if you know that certain people around are not makban Amir la'akum, and they turn on ovens on Shabbos, and they turn on the blech on Shabbos, they put food on top of the fire on Shabbos, all these different issues, you cannot be nana from that from that food. That's an issue of Amir la'akum. What is that?
On Shabbos,
also could be that. What is that?
You're not talking about
on Shabbos itself for sure, it's awesome.
After Shabbos is open
for discussion.
You're not talking about after
Shabbos. Right, Kadesh Shiaz could be his mother, but. Yeah.
What's happening if he's doing for himself?
What?
If he cooks for himself like coffee, you're making for himself coffee.
Okay, good. That's the, in the dinim, that place can say that's okay. I mean, if a guy cooks for himself on Shabbos something that's not an issue of Bishal Akum, which we're going to discuss soon, then let's say coffee, which is not an issue of Bishal Akum, if they make tea for themselves, you could be nene from.
Eat a
border,
he could,
and
your kelim. It's not bishul akum.
It's not bishul
akum. He's gonna tell you what is bishul
akum. We'll talk about bishul akum soon. That's not bishul akum. If it's mut for goy to heat up water, but once they heat up water for themselves, that's gonna be okay for you to nana because they didn't do malacha for you. But that's not. That's also in certain situations. It should be maker shas tchad. They do it for themselves to be nana. But the halacha is about them for sure. Let's say for a candle, if they put on a light for themselves,
huh?
Okay, good. So achil is different. But someone told me recently, a pesach told me that if they heat up water, so Rabbi Goodman says the Mishnah says only shasat chak. A pesach told me if they heat up water for themselves, you could use that water for coffee. Is that a problem? But apparently it's not so simple according to pesach. So everybody ask your rav. Good. Definitely what to look out for, Amir la'akum, what the dinim are, and find out if they're using the akum properly or improperly. But now, the issue of having... Wait, have water, because the issue is ne'lech ne'lemeh, which means that if a goy turns on a light, lights a fire, lights a flame, yeah? So then, you're allowed to be nene from that flame. They lit it for themselves. But if they lit it for themselves, you can also be nene from it. But let's say turn on a light. If a goy comes and turns on the kitchen for himself or herself, and then you walk into the kitchen, you don't have to close your eyes because she lit it for herself, and you, but she lit it for herself, that's mutter, so then you can be nana from it afterwards. But if a guy comes into, let's say, a bathroom and turns on the light in the bathroom for you, then you have to walk in with the eyes closed, according to most days. Ask a rav, because you can't be nana from that light. Okay.
What about the
tzibur? Huh? There's a certain heterium, turn on air conditioning in a very hot place, b'derech remez and things like this, tzarech tzibur, but yeah, but we're not. Yeah, good. There are others who say this mutter. I remember I saw a shayat shuv from a baisha about this, about certain yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, if they could rely on this, and it wasn't so simple at all. But
if you go into the bathroom, you need the light.
Huh?
If you go into the bathroom, you need the light.
I mean, if you don't have a window,
you can do whatever you're doing in the bathroom without the light.
Good, okay.
That's
true. Good. Okay. Okay, good.
What
good.
Do you do by mistake if you forgot your light on the top? You're not going to
go to the I don't want to go into details.
So
but
I mean, if you could use it without the light, I can't see.
I still think you can't be nana from it anyway.
Still a hana. I think you're still getting
you
hana.
You don't need to close your eyes. If you do it without the light, then you don't have to do it.
But you can eat without a light too, but eating with light is much better.
No, that's good.
Another major issue is leaving somebody in your house, a shiksa in your house, in a situation where you know, where she knows you're not coming home. Yeah? So this is extremely complicated. How to leave a house, a housekeeper at your house without coming home and checking up on her and not scaring her. So somebody asked me, I know, so one of the people that I learned with, he has security cameras all over his house. Mavich, all over his house, every room has a security camera. So then he said, if I have all the security cameras, I could just look at the video and see if she cooked any food. So is that okay? So according to many places, that is okay. That once there's surveillance on her, she's going to be afraid to mess with any of the food. So then that's going to be okay. You don't have to be scared that she's going
to
cook it. Could be something. So
she has to know that there's a camera.
She has to know there's a camera there. And some say once she thinks the camera there, even a fake camera is good enough. Because then she's afraid anyway, because she doesn't know it's a fake camera. Someone just told me that certain Paiskim in Lakewood said that was okay. If as long as they think there's... Someone just told me this. Oh, okay. Rabbi Danziger told me this. Oh, so this is massive big problem. This is a very big issue. Now, living for a month is a very big problem. And I don't know that... If everybody could turn on to pay to the Igros Meisha, very important, Sirsdika Halacha, please, if everybody has the Igros Meisha in front of them, I want to read the lines inside, so nobody writes, Kokeres, that I'm saying things B'Shem Ramesha, that's not true. So everybody look inside. And it's whatever, it's the only Igros Meisha we have printed here. Very important to look at it, because this is Ma'ayu to many different Shailas they have to think about. Good. So we can look at it inside, word for word. Beis b'shvil, I read it wrong first time. First time I read beis tavshil hayilodim. That's not what it means. It's beis b'shvil hayilodim, which makes it much more chomer than I originally thought. Somebody left a shiksa in their house, and they left their kids there, and left a shiksa there with the kids. Good. V'adayei osel lechatchila niach nochris she'efshel lochshet tivashel la'atzol lefomim gam hayilodim. For sure, lechatchil, it is forbidden to leave a shiksa there. That it's passable, that you have to be concerned, she's going to cook for herself, and sometimes even cook for the kids. Av she'ein leches abishal mutaleh, even though her responsibility is not cooking. Why not? Shisha Yehudis ha'krev l'sham kabla leah meleches abishal. Because you said your neighbor is going to come, your Jewish neighbor is going to come, she's going to cook for the kids every day, and therefore the shiksa is not, she's not responsible to cook, she has nothing to cook, not her issue at all. Mikom okay, nevertheless, Yesh lochush the tivashal atzmi. You still have to be concerned. She's going to cook for herself. The famim kishaloi tava eshchein. And sometimes when the neighbor doesn't come, bisman the proper time, tivashal gam be alav. She'll cook for the kids also. Then medakdek has been any basav chol. She doesn't care about basav chol. Latzmi efshe tavi basav chol. Also maybe for herself she'll bring chayfah meat anyway. It's cheaper. Avol. Nevertheless, that's lechatchil. Av b'di'evad yesh satu l'shtamish b'kevim. Nevertheless, b'di'evad, it's mutter to use the kalim. This doesn't mean, don't make a mistake, it doesn't mean that she used the kalim. You are choishish, you're concerned. That's a suffix if she used the kalim or not. So in a case where you're concerned that she used the kalim, you don't know if she did, so it says, achem is the ace. Mutter to use the kalim, but the evidence after 24 hours. She also fake a derabon, because then it becomes a suffix derabon. Because after 24 hours, anyway, it's no time lefgam. No time lefgam is only asim derabon. And therefore, since the suffix meikara becomes a suffix derabanan, and therefore be mutter afterwards. But the first 24 hours, next time of gam means that we assume the time, the taste that it got absorbed into the kli from the shiksa cooking, so that gets ruined after 24 hours, it goes bad, and therefore when somebody cooks with it, it gives a bad taste as opposed to a good taste, and with next time of gam, if the time gives a bad taste, it's a chiddush that doesn't impart any issues on the food that is cooked inside of it. Good. And then it goes, mezer, b'diyah, whatever, which is mezer, shoygeg, if it's a mezer, it's also anyway. But for sure, this part of the halacha is very, very important. You have to be concerned, lechatchila, that she's going to cook in your house. Now, b'diyah, the kelim b'mot have 24 hours. However, if a shiksa for sure did cook in your house, the kelim are, according to most days, unless it's shasat chak and hefsa meruba, the kelim need to be kashered. We'll get to that, I don't know, soon, hopefully. What the fish? Oh, is also a problem that you have to be concerned. She switched the meat also. So there's two ways to getting out of the issue. Number one way of getting out of the issue is to ensure the fact that she has no incentive to cook whatsoever. If you can disincentivize or de-incentivize, whatever the word is, that, so Rabbi Forst here has different ways of de-incentivizing, but everybody has to, or dis, what's the word? De-incentivizing. So, is that, yeah? Good. So, the only way to get around this issue is, you have to, you can, if you fill all these categories, what?
It's an angle.
It's a disincentive.
Disincentive. So, it's a big problem. So, you have to make sure she has good food, that you prepare for her good, cold food, that she can eat herself without heating anything up. That's what she has to make sure. you also have to make sure she knows that it's also in your house to cook. And she has to be afraid that if you do perhaps find out she did cook, that therefore you would fire her. That also she has to know that. And what is that? So therefore, if you can prepare the house in such a fashion that there's absolutely no incentive for her to cook, we're not concerned she's going to cook just to ruin your life and make her pass strafe. We're not concerned about that. We're only concerned she's going to cook for herself only in a situation she'll gain out of it. Therefore, if you make it, that you give her all the drinks she wants, all the soda she wants, all the whatever she wants, and you go and you give her, make sure she has cold food, good, nutritious, kishmak and cold food, that she has no reason to cook, you do not have to be concerned. As long as she also knows that it's also to cook in your house, that would be okay if that's prepared beforehand. However, if that is not prepared beforehand, then you have a big issue whether or not l'chatchila had to do that. In addition, there's other ways. For example, for your yetziv and nichnas, if she's afraid that any second you might come back, so then you could lie in the fact that she's afraid to do anything because she knows you might come back at any second, and therefore you find her, she'll lose her job, and therefore she's not going to take the risk and cook. But however, let's say if you say, if you're leaving for an extended period of time, let's say you're going on vacation to wherever, going to Eretz Yisrael, and you tell, we're going to Eretz Yisrael for 2 weeks, please stay here. And so then, she's not afraid, there's no Yetziv and Nichnas. So some say what you can do is have a neighbor come in every once in a while during the day and let the maid know that my neighbor's going to come in every once in a while to come, and maybe you could rely on that in certain circumstances. You could rely on that. But these are big issues. Going on vacation and leaving a shiksa in your house is a very, very big issue. La'alocha. For sure, lechatchila, it's pashas aser, unless you can fill these different issues that she has no incentive and they have a neighbor coming across from time to time. Anyway, if you have, let's say, a video cameras, that could also be relied on if you need to. But these issues, we're not at all going into all the major details. Therefore, in a situation, going on vacation, or leave a housekeeper in your house, you have to ask a Rav first to find out the details, how to make a mutter, and if it and how to avoid any issues.
What if I'm not leaving her in the house, but she knows the code to get in?
Oh, I don't know. That's a definite concern. She's going to come into your house when she's not unwanted. I don't know if you have to assume that she's going to break into your house. I don't know. Maybe you're right, but I don't know. That's a good question. There's a good Shaila. And this has to be presented to her enough. Good. Now, let's say if you have maids, let's say, example, somebody that I know has a maid that cooks all the food in the house. So therefore, all the kalim are pashtus, all the kalim are treif. Because if a guy cooks food in your house, the kli becomes treif. It's two shitas in the Shulchan Aruch. Before, according to the first shita, all the kalim become treif. According to the second shita, yes, I mean that it's mutter, but the food is not, but it could be the kalim, and mutter be the evet. And the svara really makes a lot of sense that it should be mutter, like the Yeshayimim say. However, the place came mem on, like the first side. L'chatchil, for sure you go to the first side, you have to cash all of your kalim.
Why is the chashash?
Not a chashash, we're talking when she did cook.
Why does the chashash work? What? Yeah. If the chashash works,
what's the miss? Oh, miss. You saw her, she cooked food. I sat with you
on that. But if it was a chashash, why is that mutter?
But after 24 hours, you mean?
Yeah.
It's a sfek sfek. It's either a sfek darabon or a sfek sfek. Depending on how you say it. But it's the way the Ramah brings, whatever it's brought down, is that it's a sfek darabon. Because after 24 hours, anyway, the time that's soaked into the food, into the kli, becomes ruined. And therefore, even when you cook from it, it's nice and time with gam. It gives a bad taste to cooking in it. That's only midarabon. And therefore, since you're mesupek, if she did it all anyway, it's a sfek darabon. And you can rely on that. That's what the Ramah brings down.
You don't rely on that for time with gam. It's good.
No, but if it's a suffix.
No, she couldn't have
the fire,
she couldn't
have the fire. For sure, but it's a suffix there, but in that case, it's
blind. He's talking about you didn't turn on the fire.
So this friend of yours who has a guy cooking,
he turned on everything.
Steve. You cannot even understand the Fgam Lechatchila. It's only been the Eva. Because this case is a suffix.
You know for sure why.
But that, when it says it's not mutter, if you know for sure that a shiksa is cooked in the house, it is not mutter. Even if it's 100% kosher food. 100% kosher food, she takes the best Milmart food. What is that? Bishul Akum. When she cooked food, kosher food, no problem with the food at all, but she turned on the fire and she cooked it in the house, that food is treif, and the kalim are treif, according to the sheets and the Good. That is a very complicated issue, and we will get to it. We're not going to get to it, but it's very important. With a fried person, with a non-religious Jew in your house, you have a different issue. The other issue you have with the non-religious Jew is that they didn't wash Netilas Yadayim in the morning. Therefore, if they didn't wash Netilas Yadayim in the morning, it's a big shayla in place if you're allowed to eat the food that they touch. It's a very big shayla halacha. I know that the Klerzberger Rebbe, and it's true as Divrei Yatzev says, but the Evid, according to many shitas, it's mutter to eat the food with the Evid. However, Rabbi Forstin here is very masupak about it. He says you have to ask a Rav. And it could be that it's brought down, that it could be Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky, and it could be Rabbi Yosef also hold that a Freya Yid doesn't have tum on him at all anyway. Which is because they have no kedush, they have no tumor. Okay. Huh? In a suffix? It wasn't brought down. When I saw it, it wasn't. You mean if it's a Dinah Ka'akum? No, but any Jew, any Freya Yid, even Tirish and Nishba, it's not an issue of the fact that they're a guy that's special Akum. The issue is they didn't watch Tirish and Nishba.
They don't watch Tirish and Nishba. I'm saying you're saying that they don't have Ruach
Ra. Some say they don't have Ruach Ra.
Yeah, but everybody washes their hands today.
Right, today
everybody
you have their
hands. Good, so you have to know how to rely. Do people wash it? I'm not sure what you mean.
Regular Fry is any less Kedushin than regular
Yid? The Reb Chaim Kanievsky is such a tzad.
What if he's a Tirish and
Nishba? So I don't know. It seems the way of Vadi says it over, it seems like someone's not Shemesh Shabbos, doesn't have the Kedush anymore, and therefore. It seems like that person doesn't have the Kedush on them, and therefore they have no Tumah either. That's how Vadi says it over, but these shayes have to be asked and spoken about. If a Mechal Shabbos does watch your Sedayim touches your food, can you eat it with the Evid or not? It's a very big issue. Now it could be that you're right. There could be some people say that they wash their hands anyway. You can rely on the fact that somehow they're. I don't know. It's hard to understand, but. Ask a Rav. To get off Ruach Ra, you have that issue. Now, if a shiksa cooks food in your house, the kelim are treif. For sure, lechatchila, and for sure, but some say in a situation of hefsed meruba, if you're going to lose a lot of money having to cash the kelim, it could be then it's mutter enough to cash it to the oven.
Why is it such a hefsed?
Let's say you have the fanciest ceramic things in your ever. China. And you can't cash it, maybe. Could be, huh? Because there's two sheets of Shulchan Aruch. It's machlokes with Shaina. The tzad that came are mutter because the whole gzeira mikara, the whole reason why it's also the food that guy cooks, because of chasnus. You're going to get close to them, you end up marrying them, so that's the way they made the gzeira. However, if they cook food and left, and they have kelim, you're not going to marry them because you're using the kelim they cooked in 6 years ago. Therefore, there's no issue in the kelim themselves. That's Rishonim, hold that way. We name it like the first tzad, that it also needs to be, you have to kasher it. But in certain situations, hefsed meruba, shasad chak, there are posts who say it's mutter, not the kashrut. Ask your Rav. You have to find out if it's mutter. Now you have a different issue. If let's say you know those people relied on the hefsed meruba heter, and therefore those people are relying on the fact that under that sheet in Shulchan Aruch that's mutter, are you allowed to eat the lechatchil or not? So Rabbi Gurman told me today there's a chsam soifer. I didn't get a chance to look at it. So ask a Rav if you can lechatchil eat at someone's house that you know that they're not cashing their kelim and relying on that sheet in Shulchan Aruch that holds you don't have to. Can you eat at the house lechatchil or not? You have to ask a shayla and find out about it. Huh?
What if you don't have a Rav?
You don't have a Rav? A lot of problems. Good. Fine. Also, good. Also, whether or not, Bishul Akum, Yayin Mevushal, wine that is not cooked. If anybody has to leave, I don't want to keep anybody here. I just want to make sure everyone knows. When are we supposed to finish?
Whenever
you finish. I could be 11:15, we're going to start. So, good. Yayin, wine that's not Mevushal. This could present a very, very big issue. Wine that's not Mevushal. There's a housekeeper in a house, and you leave her there, and the wine is not sealed. You have to be concerned that she touched it, moved it. If it's not sealed, moving it is a problem. It could be if you have a cork on it, then moving it is not a problem. But if nobody is watching her, you have to be concerned that she's doing wine libations to whoever it is. And it's going to be a very big issue. Yayin that is not mevushal, that you leave in your house without anybody watching over it. If it is not sealed, you have even if you have a cork in it, you have very big issues. They have to be concerned that they used it and therefore it is also to drink it. Yayin that's not mevushal, there are certain, the Shlach HaKodesh brings down, and people make it this way sometimes, even if a guy looks at it, it's also a problem. So yayin that's not...
Stam is there only for Kiddush?
For Kiddush.
No, it's not. Stam is there. Why just for Kiddush?
Some people are only make it for Kiddush, by the way.
Oh, good. Some people are only make it for Kiddush. There you go. Good. So, the Shlach HaKodesh, I don't know if...
The guy never looked at it?
Huh?
Not in this country.
Oh, so different. You shout like this. And then you have colored bottles. Some say colored bottles, not called looking at it because you can't really see the wine. Some say that's not. But this is all not a halacha. This is a shla kodesh. It's in yoni kedusha, and therefore it's not a din in the Torah. However, using
this country, you cannot get a wine bottle.
It's very hard. I'll tell you what. I know. Just a very important thing. I saw with my own eyes. And Avram Shor, I saw him. He's a very holy Jew. That he had, he was very makpid in a bottle from Eretz Yisrael. So there, in a bottle, so just put in a box. It was never opened, and he opened it by the Suda Shabbos itself. And whatever, didn't take off the tape, but he opened it himself, and he didn't take it out of the box until he was about to make Kiddush. And they took it out of the bag, put it in. And that was how he used his wine and by Kiddush. There was possible, obviously, he's not for sure drink any wine that a goy ever saw. Therefore, the obvious way to do it, find out, call up Rabbi Ram Shor and ask him how he does it. But good.
If it seals, then look is a problem?
Yeah, look is always a problem. Looking is a problem because the issue is whatever, the tumor, iron hot, I don't know what it is. Anyway, but kitzer, good. So therefore, wine that's amavosho presents many issues. I know, for example, I know Rabbi Becker from Kendall one time at Yain that's not mavosho. I heard the story from his son. Yain that's not mavosho. And he had people at his house for Shabbos. And people, it's not for Shabbos, for the Seder. And he died in the Sanat Mavushal. And he had the Seder and putting all the Arab cases. And they're all schmoozing together. And it's behind Shulchan Aruch. And he says, oh, how you doing? Good. Yeah, where's the family from? Anyway, the kids, as they're speaking, turns out the guy says, oh, yeah, but my mother's not Jewish. And I said, oh, yeah. So then it turns out all the Yayin that he touched, who knows what he touched, what he didn't touch, is all now not kosher anymore. So he had big problems. Arab cases, how to get out of it. So therefore, any Frayid, there's a real, these are concerns that you don't know who's Jewish and who's not. Therefore, this could present major issues like that story I just said. Good. Now I have another issue about a Jew who's Michal Shabbos, who's Dino Ka'akum Kol HaTorah Kula. Now, a Jew who's Michal Shabbos for Hesia has a Dino of a Goy. Now, that's not so simple. Some say there's such thing as Tinek Shenishba. If a Jew was not brought up with a proper education, then that person, in fact, Jewish education, depending on which the place, the nuance each Pesach uses, that could be considered not a goy. Bavaydi is very make on this, Chaznish is very make on these things, but Rav Ozner is very makbid, and the many Shittas who hold that true. A Stam Israeli, Rav Ozner holds Stam Israeli, knows what firm Jews are, and therefore every Israeli is the din of Ka'akum, has din of a goy, but there are many people Chaznish didn't hold that way. So therefore, these are big shailas. If you're having a Michal Shabbos b'fahese at your house, then you have to ask a shaila about Yayin that's on Mavushal, if he cooks food, if it's called Bishal Akum or not. These are very big issues. There's so many other issues to be discussed, but I hope everybody to ask shailas. You know what's going on in your house, but we don't know what's going on in somebody else's house. Therefore, you have to be concerned about these different issues. Try your best to prevent them without offending anybody. And ask shailas to your Rav when you can be rely and when you can be Mekel. When you can't be Mekel, what's Mutter, what's not Mutter. And we shall have a lot of Sholem and Klai Yisrael. Everything should go well. And Zaycha. What is that? We shall be Shemir. Cashews as much as possible, and discuss that. Same shit from here, the Armenians. Thank you for coming.